Hallelujah. Bow our heads and close our eyes. We have a few prayer requests here. We want to remember them. But Alan kind of requests prayer for Freddie Hope, who is in a serious condition in the hospital since last night. He has been unconscious since 4 a.m. this morning. Prayer is also requested for the salvation of his soul. We like Brother Robert's uncle. Brother Brian Rawlinson requests prayer for his neighbor Trevor Beard, who is mentally insane, and also for the salvation of his entire family. Sister June Nathaniel requests prayer for deliverance from a disobedient spirit upon her life. Brother Vine requests prayer for his mother, who is suffering with an enlarged heart, and she also is presently warded at the hospital. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We believe in him that he would reach out his hand of mercy. He would touch these and he would heal them and make them whole. They will come out of the hospital. Those who are mentally insane will be restored back to the right mind. And these who are, they are believing for the salvation of their souls, God will touch them and deal with them. They will not rest until they come to the altar and repent for their sins. Let's have faith and believe as we stand in the presence of the all-sufficient God. He says, whatever you ask in my name. God didn't put any limit. He said, when you stand praying, believe that you have received what you asked for and you shall have it. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we stand in your divine presence, just a few more days to labor and wait, and then the toils of the road will seem as nothing when we come to the end of the way. And oh God, while we are here to finish our course, we want to finish our course with joy, Father. Oh God, with great faith and expectation, we come in your house tonight. Oh God, so thankful that there's a promise. Where two or three is gathered together in your name, there we are in the midst. Oh Lord God, that name is revealed, it's written in our hearts. Oh God, we didn't just come here in vain, it's not an intellectual gathering, but it's a great ransom church of God. Coming from the east and the west and the north and the south, wherever the carcasses, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Hallelujah. Lord God, we know that the atonement is in action this evening. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ is speaking better things. Hallelujah. And the church of the living God is sprinkled with that blood, Father. She has become the voice of the blood. Hallelujah. For the blood is in her. Hallelujah, the very Holy Ghost is in her tonight. And Father, we stand here. I lay my hands upon these requests, representing these needy ones. Many is very serious, Father. Oh God, believers, believing for the families, believing for the loved ones, looking unto you. Oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that the Almighty God stretch forth his hand and heal, oh God, these, Father, who is needy, may they be made whole in the name of Jesus Christ. Bring the power of sickness, Father. Let everyone, oh God, who this request represent, Lord God, receive what they have need of this evening. And oh God, as we gather to hear your word, Father, how we enjoy this hour. Oh God, this great time when the Holy Spirit is dwelling so richly in our hearts and amongst us, revealing the truth and making it plain. Hallelujah. You said that Gabriel came to Daniel, so will the Holy Spirit come to the church to reveal these deep secret things to get the church ready to go out. How we thank you for the unveiling of the word, Father. Oh God, as you would speak to our hearts, Lord God, make it plain again tonight and let it burn deep down on the inside as it did those men. Lord God, you walk with you in your presence. Oh God, on that road to Emmaus, Heavenly Father, speak to everyone. Give understanding, Father, and let the church be lifted even higher tonight. Oh God, let the power of God fill every heart tonight. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles. I'd like to read in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, reading from verse 1. Follow closely. We read tonight. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. Gotta change his name down there. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, and that is before in Genesis, which is the ancient name for the Tigris River, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen. That is like that man in Ezekiel 9, who is clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face like the appearance of lightning, and his eyes like lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet in color like the polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. That is the same one in Revelation 10. We all know that. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. My, what should it do to us if we are seeing that same vision tonight? And I retained no strength, yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained dear with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, and said unto him who stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou why or wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. Remember, Persia, Media and Persia was the chest of silver. Because remember, he received this vision in the year of the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Nebuchadnezzar had already fallen. Belshazzar, Hadai, and now Darius. Darius was king of Media, and this Cyrus, king of Persia. Amen. So while he was there, the kingdom had changed over, and And during that time, he had got this vision here, and the angel told him he's going now to fight with the prince of Persia, and that was the chest of silver. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come, and Greece was the ties of brass. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael your prince. And if you read chapter 11 here, you would find where he begins to tell him there are going to be four more kings of Persia, and then a great king of Greece is going to come to Alexander the Great. And then he was going to set up his kingdom, and then so the ties of brass was going to come in, and then Alexander was going to die. And when he died, remember he died 33, he had already conquered the whole world. And then he had four generals, if you read lower down. I'm not reading, I'm just telling you so you'll have a little understanding. And he had four generals, and those four generals, they had a portion each of Alexander's kingdom. So he divided into four. And then right down to the 11th chapter, he began to speak about these kings with the kingdoms. And when he came to chapter 12, here's what we want to get. He was speaking about his vision for the last days, you see. And at that time shall Michael, this is only a continuation of 10 and 11. 12 is only a continuation of 10 and 11. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, who standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Thy people, Daniel's people. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt, and they that be wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. Now, if you already catch it, they speak about two dispensations right here. Amen. Time you hit verse 2, you're talking about after the white throne judgment. Amen. In the second resurrection there. But verse 1 is before the millennium. It's the last half of the 70th week. Amen? All right, I hope you understand that. Verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, this is the same man clothed in linen back there, eyes like a flame of fire, thighs like brass, all these things, legs like brass, voice like a multitude of water, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard a man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand, it's like Revelation 10, and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him with it forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half. And when he shall have accomplished the breaking up of the power, or the scattered the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father, in this great hour, you said the wise will understand these deep secret things. Oh God, it was put in the Bible and it was sealed up until the last days. But as we are taught and as we believe, the book has been opened. And this in our seal up, Lord, is now made known to the church, that the church might not be left without understanding, but Lord God, that she might be standing here conscious of every move that is taking place, that she might be prepared and made ready. Give us a little more oil in our lamps tonight. Speak to our hearts. Oh God, that angel that came and opened these things, Lord, that gave skill and understanding to consider the matter and understand the vision, may be so present tonight. May move throughout this congregation from the pulpit right onto the back bench and deal with every heart, and let the wisdom of revelation come in and enlighten the eyes of your people. May the entrance of thy word give light, and may they be illuminated. May they have light in their dwellings. Bless them richly, Father. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have a seat. I have a note of praise, yes. It's a burnished one to give God thanks for answered prayers concerning a stiff neck which came on suddenly. With much pain last week, I did not know the cause of the pain. When prayer was requested, I did get a relief from the said night prayers you made, but the stiffness was still present. I went to the doctor, had an x-ray done. The report showed that I was injured on the cervical vertebrae. The doctor said it isn't something that can be corrected. They will relieve me from the pains when they occur, but I will have to learn to live with the condition. I was told to return yesterday to be screened to have a better view of the vertebrae. When this was done, it showed to be perfectly normal. I give God thanks for healing me from the condition. Amen. Amen. I like that. Amen. She's a nurse, and qualified nurse, and she believed God answers prayer. Amen. And she sent up that request. We prayed, and here she could take an x-ray and have it confirmed that everything is in order. Praise God. Amen. How many feel happy to be in the house of God tonight? Amen. Amen. I just trust that the Holy Spirit will warm your heart with his love and give you understanding in his word in this hour. When so many minds are confused and people change the belief daily, that you could be anchored in the rock of ages. Amen. I just want to continue speaking a little bit again tonight, because I definitely believe that it's not by chance that the Holy Spirit has dropped down upon us, but I believe it because it's according to a promise that God is making plain unto us these hidden secret things. And if you didn't know that these things was promised, just go back in God's evil age. Christ revealed his own word, and knoweth it not. Many invisible union, many of these messages, and see where Brother Abraham was looking to have a message come forth. And later on, Satan leading under the snow-white dove, different messages. Where he's looking forward to have a message come forth. Amen. To make these hidden secret things plain. Amen. Amen. And he said way back there, it wasn't the season of the time. And you know, I've been preaching and saying there's five things hidden in the seven trumpets here. Well, it could be more than that, but just I've been preaching on five and kind of showing that what was happening all along, how, and yet these things was not being made plain. And first he's talking about the great river Euphrates, then the locusts in the river, then the three woes. And after Sunday, I was just still speaking on the three woes and tying it in with birth pains of the earth, and the earth going through birth pains, and the Jewish church went through the birth pains, the Gentile church went through the birth pains, and the earth went through its birth pains. And we find that the earth is renewing itself, because there's also a promise. Apart from the second Adam was a promise, and the second Eve was a promise, the new earth was a promise. Because the whole thing being redeemed back. Adam being redeemed back, the bride being redeemed back, and the earth being redeemed back. And we went through those things in earlier times, but here it is, under the trumpet, so we're picking up how the earth is going through her birth pains and how she is going to come back to be a new earth. Amen. Amen. How the Eden is going to come back. Amen. And the next thing after that was to hit this angel with the open book and the seven thunders, and then the three prophets, one before the rapture, two after the rapture, and the super church in between there, to finish up these hidden things in the seven trumpets. And in there, when I reached there, the volume of things that could be preached right in there, because Revelation tells the whole message to the sage. That is the message, the song of the seventh angel. And we've been picking up parts back and forth between the woes, because that's where Brother Branham was born, between the Pentecostal age and World War I. He was born in 1909. Between World War I, God spoke to him, 1916, when he was 7 years old, the voice up in the tree. Amen, the whirlwind. Then 1933, between World War I and World War II, God's the pillar of fire, never seen since the early church, appeared before 500 people, and the voice spoke. The people saw the fire, he heard the voice. 1946, after World War II, the Holy Spirit came to him, and then between that time down to 1965 was his ministry. Then we are continuing right down to 1984, and we see the earth quickly heading, because behold, the third will come quickly. Amen. And we see all these things rushing there, the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, church and state being united, all these things, being focusing on these things, and showing you that the hour is here upon us. And being so strange, you know, that just in the preaching of those things, in the midst of it, so much things is happening. And you who kind of follow the news and watch there, you see how right in the midst of these things, how many things are beginning to surface and come up right at this very present time. In the ecumenical move, the different reports, just the very time that's having this big service right here in Trinidad, in the World Congress Church around the world, they elected a new general secretary called Emil Castro, and he was making the news, and they were speaking about him being a very good politician, because he had such a different approach to the last man who they had there, who was very critical of a lot of things. So they're getting a nice mixer. And that's what the world wants today, a mixer. They want a mix in religion, they want a mix in politics, they want a mixer, they always want a mixer who can mix things up in such a way and kind of walk it down. In other words, a good compromiser. Yeah. Amen. But God called us to be separators, not integrators. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So we are called to separation. Amen. And then also in the midst of that, here we had this big hailstorm, as I was telling you, in the midst of a heat wave. And they had hailstones the size of a tennis ball, a long tennis balls, falling out of the sky. It was like granite. And it was millions of dollars in damage, and airports and planes and buildings and all over. And they said it was like the end of the world. That's what they were saying. And they see what was coming. Just came suddenly like that. And when you think of these things, it's going to happen real soon. And then in America, in the political realm, so in the religious realm, the political realm, in the natural conditions, everything is happening while we are here looking in and seeing these things. And under these things, we are picking up all these things. We pick up the church, we pick up politics, we pick up the very conditions of the earth, nature being disturbed, all these things. We are picking up all these things right here, how these things are taking place. And what you're watching right there, this woman that they have here, who is has made history as the first woman in the history of America that is going to run for vice president. And she's a Catholic, yeah. Roman Catholic.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, Brother Ram was speaking there in his vision. He said, now, possibly it could be a Catholic church, but then we realized these things look like it's twofold now as the time draw near. Amen. For the Catholic Church rise in America, then you see another woman rise, and then somebody in America wrote an article that they had it there in the evening news sometime last week, or this week rather, sometime the beginning there of the week. And they said that woman, if she's elected, and that man win, Walter Mondale, over his name is, wins that seat, well, it's really who they choose to put in the position this time.
Amen.
Because they already have the whole thing sewed up.
Amen.
Amen. And it's just who they have there, but it says she will be just one heartbeat away from the presidency. Because people are so prone to that, heart attacks, all kinds of things. If he's having a heart attack, she'll be the person right away. And she is such a outspoken woman. She came right out and she says, don't judge me as a woman, judge me on the same basis you judge Ronald Reagan with in 1980. Amen. Think of that. You say, and you'll find I'm just qualified and even overqualified. Because she's not handling no little small backward state in America. She's congressman 3 times straight for New York City. And that is over 20 million people you're talking about. A woman that will put prime minister and chambers in them, some in the backyard, you know. Because you're talking about Trinidad, maybe 500,000. This is 20 million people you're talking about in a place that's leading the world. Yeah. Amen. And the day that she was nominated, she was going to some meeting at the Knights of Columbus. I tell you, the Knights of Columbus is some Catholic organization that have there for hundreds of years going on now. And those are people that are rare in high places and that swear to Catholic rule of America. So the thing is getting very interesting. You know, the Bible just said she drunk the nation, the kings of the earth, the wine of a fornication. But you have to follow history a little bit to see how she has mingled her wine, how she has get them and woo them and pull them in and send them back all drunk, intoxicated to carry out her will. You see, so if you just take the statement there, you'll be at a loss till you'll know that she's responsible for it. But the way she engineers these things and work it out, you know, it takes a little looking into history and watching these things. And you're saying the history of this generation is now being made. So you can't read no history well. You have to see the prophecy coming to pass. And that's what makes it so interesting as you look and see these things coming to pass. And you know, I was telling you this book of Revelation, by the grace of God, it become a little plainer for us to read. And those are chapter 8 and chapter 9 for a long time was like a big knot inside of there. And God has finally come and loosened out that knot. So it makes things fall into place, and things that you thought, you know, might be this side or that side, it straightened out a lot of things there. And just in a few days' time from now, the Olympic torch that traveled from east to west, these past few months will finally reach its destination. It was lit by the sun. And it traveled from east to west, moving from nation to nation, from runner to runner. And it finally ends up on the west coast. And right out there is where they're going to begin the Olympic Games this month. You know, you look at those things there, and the same way the message came. It was lit by the sun. The Son of God himself. Amen. Amen. And then it started down through the seven ages from country to country, coming geographically with history, civilization, following the sun. And so it have come and end up on the west coast. And when it end up on the west coast was judgment. Amen. Amen. So we live in a very interesting time, and so much is happening. So much can be spoken on these things. But tonight, I want to take a little thought. For a little title for the tape that is, but I want to keep speaking here. I don't want to go into Revelation yet because I begin to learn the lesson a little bit by trying to take too much at one time and sometimes think in one service I can get it through, and then when one service passed, we hardly scratch the surface. So I'm going to start a little bit from Daniel and work my way over into Revelation as the Lord will lead, but because Daniel is called the Revelation of the Old Testament. And Revelation is Revelation of the New Testament. That is Apocalypse, and Apocalypse is it's the same kind of thing here. It's prophecy, but in symbol form. I mean, it's unveiling. And I want to call it Daniel in Revelation. Because the book of Daniel is in here in Revelation. And I believe as if Revelation is becoming plain to us, then Daniel should become plain to you also. Yeah. If it's a genuine revelation you're getting. And I've been thinking upon that because I just didn't want to hit this next part here. I didn't want to kind of just go and merely preach over, because what is happening here to show that these things are so right and to show it have been the Holy Spirit leading us all along, as these things open up, messages that have been preached on many different subjects, it just pick it up and place it right in the place where it belongs. Like all those things back there with those three angel messages after in the Gentile dispensation and the three woes and all these things have been spoken on in previous times. But here it is, as these things open up here, that you can see and understand by a revelation that when these things have been revealed, Almighty God has returned. Amen. Been identified, that anointing, that inspiration is here. And the Father proved these things here tonight. I'm going to open the book of Daniel. Because if Revelation is open up, Daniel has to be open up also. Because Daniel just comes over into Revelation and John sees back the visions of the same thing. And to me, Daniel, I was looking at some things the other day. I wanted to know how to hit that Revelation 10. I didn't just want to go back and pick up the messenger and say, all right, here's the messenger, here's so and so. Because you know what, it will just be a reiterating, it will be formal. But I begin to think on those things there, and then even for my own self, so much more begin to come out of why those things is placed there. So it's more than just saying what it is, but you begin to see why it is placed there. Because take for instance, if you don't understand what I mean, it's like why God put Revelation 7, which it pertained to the Jews, between the seven seals, which pertain to the church. And why would God put Revelation 10, which pertained to the church, between the trumpets, which pertained to the Jews? Right. It seemed that it would be easier to put Revelation 10 between the seals, because you know the seven seals to begin with. Yeah. If you want to talk something about under the seven seal, Revelation 10 is a mystery under the seven seal. And since Revelation 8, 1, the seventh seal had nothing written, the last seal written was Revelation 6, 12 to 17, which was the sixth seal. Before God gets to the seventh seal, he wanted to put something in the air. Well, the best thing to put would be Revelation 10, because that is the seventh seal. But instead of God put that there, he put Revelation 7, which is just a continuation of the same sixth seal. Because he wanted to be a secret. He didn't want it to be made known. So if God do it that way, so he didn't want it to be made known, when it is being made known to you, and you can say, I see that, I know you could see it by a revelation, then it has to be some intervention of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then it's God letting you see that. And these things, when it's being spoken over the message. It's not somebody forcing a revelation upon you. Then it means to say, we read the message all the years. But then it's time for you to see it. I want to begin to see it. Then, you know, Brother Brown back there, they tried to throw him in jail. When the devil couldn't trap him and deceive him, he tried to use the government. And isn't that what they always did? They do Jesus that. They brought the government in the thing. And then back there with Isaiah, the government that killed him. And back there in the time of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, it was the government there at that time that put them in jail and these things. And here it was, the very same thing was happening. And he said, with that tax case, see, Satan, study out how you're going to get at him now. Sometimes you can put him away in jail for a period of time. Because one time they catch him driving out a light, one of the front light. But you can't lose a man in jail for a front light. You know what I mean? But then they tried to get him away in jail. And silence the voice and cripple the message and break the power of the move that God is going on. Amen. And one of the brothers had a dream of a great wall and he's riding west. He said, somehow I came over that wall and that was the tax case with the government. Amen. All right. So then, looking back at those things there, then you think of if the government tried to hold him and that, then what about if he had come out and begin to speak things about the Roman Catholic system that he was seeing in visions alone? Amen. And he didn't have history for it written. And he could have tell what all the dealings was in politics. Amen. What was going on with government ministers in the councils. Amen. Remember Elisha dealing with the king of Syria? Amen. He know what they were planning the back for war against Israel and all these things? Amen. He know in the Pentagon what was going on? Amen. You pick it up on spiritual food in due season. He said the power of that country lay in that prophet. Because when Syria was planning an invasion to make war against Israel, the prophet was the one hearing the plans in the bedchamber and revealing to the king of Israel that they could block the ambush when it was taking place. Look, Daniel could have told about an invasion when the Medes was going to come. He said, you know, ever so often, he showed me all these national things. He said, look, until the Germans didn't bring out the film The Americans would never admit the beating they took on D-Day.
Amen.
He said they deny it. People hated the prophet and they came against him when he said what was going to happen there. He said, but when the Germans produced their films in the war and begin to publicize it, then the Americans had to come out and admit it that it really took place.
Amen.
But all along they tried to cover it up. You were the last time when America invaded Grenada here. People didn't want to tell them what soldiers was dying. You said that Iraq and them, all kind of false numbers being given. Nobody wanted to know that they're out there and they're making blunders and a lot of innocent people being killed and so much soldiers being lost and all kind of wrong direction being given by the generals in the army, and they don't want these things to be made known. So they give us different figures, and many times they don't want the other side to know that maybe they're winning because they don't want help from other foreign powers to come in the picture also. So they keep the whole thing kind of covered with politics, and that's the game they play now there. See, so when we look here in the scripture, and we're realizing that the thing that he saw, if he had to speak it, he could be more than be lost in jail.
Amen.
Amen. And these things that have been revealed here to the church is to let us see how far advanced we are, how full the cup is.
Amen.
Amen. To get your heart right, to get you in step, to get you ready.
Amen.
As we get ready to go out to this world. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going out to this world singing hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now watch. So we're going to speak about Daniel in Revelation, because when I was watching this thing, Revelation 10 here, here's an angel with a book open, right between them seven trumpets coming in there. And it's coming before the resurrection. Amen. Now to prove that, the same coming that Paul saw in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, I see the Lord himself descending on heaven with a shout. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. Now Paul didn't go into no description like John and said the Lord, eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass and his hand he had a book open. Paul wasn't describing what he saw in the vision. He was just stating certain things that the Spirit wanted to emphasize there. But it was the same coming. The proof is the same coming. I'll show you. Because this one that John saw, he's coming in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. And that seventh angel is an earthly angel, because he's to reveal the mysteries. So he can't be a heavenly angel. He's revealed the mysteries that it was written by the prophet and sealed up in the Word. And he was the seventh angel of the seven church ages. And the church goes up in the fourth chapter together with the dead in Christ who died for the seven ages. So that coming happened before the resurrection. Now the one that Paul saw, it says, and he shall shout the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain unto that coming shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So that other one is also before the resurrection also. Both of them is speaking about the same coming. And that coming is before the resurrection. And before the resurrection, that book is to be opened.
Amen.
And those names that are found written in that book shall be delivered out of that book. And they will have a witness that is the name they heard, because they will get the first change.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
They will get the first change, and they will know they have eternal life in them now.
Yeah.
And they will know that there's a second change, because they know a growth have started inside of them.
Yeah.
They will have the evidence that the body already turned heavenly.
Yeah.
They will have the earnest of the resurrection while they grow up into a full resurrection. All right. Now, when Paul saw the Lord himself descend from heaven and shout the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, Paul didn't say the Lord descended after six trumpets sounded. But John is showing when that angel is coming, he's coming between six and seven trumpets. Six trumpets already sounded when he's coming.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now you see where these things, why it is placed there? It's placed there to reveal the time. Because Jesus, when he's on the earth, give a promise. When you see the fig tree put forth bud, you will know that the last generation. And there was no generation ever saw that, and they all look for it. But in this day when the church saw that, Israel get it back. That don't take place until after the Feast of Pentecost. That don't take place until just before they recognize the atonement. So then during that time, here it is in the realm of politics, because we know we're talking about trumpets and seals, one talking about religion, one talking about politics. And in the realm of politics, something is happening. That's why you see the believer, they look out there, they look inside of here, they look there in the realm of the church, they look in the moral social condition outside there, and it all accumulates together to reveal a picture for them. Amen. You can take up anyone and show the lateness of the hour. Amen. Anyone you can take. And then when all comes together to make every scripture so plain, then there should be no doubt. There should be no confusion of mind. There should be no wondering. These things should put every wondering star in the course. Now what begin to give me inspiration to strike something here is that the prophet said Daniel heard the seven thunders. That John heard. And the seven thunders uttered voices between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Amen. And the trumpet is speaking about the realm of politics in the nations. And the whole book of Daniel is a prophecy of kings and kingdoms. It's dealing 90% with just the political realm. Whereas the book of Revelation give you a lot with the church. And give you a lot with politics too. It showed the three wars. It showed children and state coming back together. It showed Israel back in the last days. It showed the kings of the earth gathered for the total world on the battle of Armageddon. But also showed the seven seals. It showed the calling of the bride in the last days. It showed the seven angels revealing the mysteries of God. Amen. It showed the church going up in the first resurrection. It showed the bride making herself ready for the marriage supper. Amen. But the book of Daniel is dealing more in the realm of politics. Because what Daniel, the book of Daniel, maybe we could speak about it for a little bit, so you can kind of get clear in your minds. Because had the prophet been alive here and he take these things, he must go to Daniel. When he comes to the seven trumpets, I'll show you. He must go to Daniel, because Daniel is dealing mainly with the times of the Gentiles, which is Gentile kingdoms from the head of gold in his time, down to the toes of Anakim, the eyes of Haman, Cushim in the last days, right unto the time when the millennium going to begin.
Amen. Yeah,
brother. And that the millennium, Christ's kingdom, is announced under the seventh trumpet. Open the Bible and let's find a meet. Revelation 11. I always hear him say, Daniel heard them seven thunders, and I look at it and I just begin to see something a little more inside of there. Revelation 11, 15 to 19. Okay, let's turn to Revelation 8 first. Revelation 8, 7. That's the first trumpet. Hail, fire, and blood cast upon the earth. The trees were burnt. We pick up those things the other night. Sunday morning, rather. Then the second trumpet, Revelation 8, 8 and 9. The third part of the sea became blood. Creatures were dead in the sea, and these things, ships were destroyed all during the wars there. And there was a 10 and 11, Revelation 8, verse 10 and 11, speaking about the third trumpet, the waters being made bitter, when that star fell into it, and many men died because the waters were made bitter. Verse 12, speak about the sun, moon, and stars being smitten. And then verse 13, speak about three woes. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Verse 1 to 12 in chapter 9 speaks about the fifth trumpet. Verse 13 to 21 speak about the sixth trumpet, because these were dealing with the inhabitants of the earth now who has been killed. But we find out all these are sung at the same time. It's not like one trumpet was sung in and then one trumpet. It's seven trumpets sung in. Amen. Amen. Now watch. Now between the sixth trumpet, Revelation 9, 13 to 21, and the seventh trumpet, Revelation 11, 15 to 19, is Revelation 10, 1 to 11, and Revelation 11, 1 to 14. And inside there are three prophets, one before the rapture, Revelation 10, 7, two after the rapture, Revelation 11, 3. And between those three prophets is Revelation 10, 8 to 11. We went through that many times. That's the message we've been preaching for the last few years. Now, Revelation 11, 15 to 19, now let's read. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones, their seats, fell upon their face and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who art and who was and who is to come. We always think that prophet, Peter, King, Lamb, and Lance, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. That's an announcement. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and they should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, unto the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shall destroy them who destroy the earth. That is going straight over after the millennium back into the white throne there. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in this temple the ark of his covenant, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Verse 19 there. But verse 15 to about 17 is an announcement of the kingdom that is coming, because the Jews under the seventh trumpet received the last half of the 70th week. The Gentiles don't get the seven ages, and only 3.5 years gospel remain, and the Jews get that. Moses and Elijah prophesied for 1,203 score days. Revelation 11, 3 to 7, you can pick that up. Now, Revelation 19, which you turn to it, I just mentioned it, is where Christ is coming to set up his kingdom. But Revelation 11, 15 to 19, that kingdom that is coming to set up in Revelation 19 is being announced. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
That is the very kingdom that he comes to take when he leaves the Father's throne in Revelation 5. Because Revelation 5, he leaves the Father's throne to take his own throne. That is the very throne that is promised in Revelation 3, 21. You will sit with me in my throne as I overcome and sat in my Father's throne.
Amen.
All right. You go over in Luke 1, 30 to 33, somewhere there. You will pick up where he said, when Gabriel came to Mary, he said, and unto your son, you'll call his name Jesus, unto him will give him the throne of his father David. And of his kingdom there shall have no end. But Jesus never had gotten that kingdom yet. Because he tried to make a king on the earth, and he told the disciples, pray, thy kingdom come. Because he knew the kingdom was to come in the days of the toes of iron and clay. According to the Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel 17, he told them he had to build a house first. When Solomon came, Solomon built a house, a place for the name of God, and every stone had its own place. Is that correct?
Yes.
And the wood and everything came from where? Gentile nations.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Are you? Because they floated down the rivers, all the wood and all these things, all these stones because of the quarries, and then they built that house in silence. And then there's a great dedication day where they fill the temple.
Yeah.
And that have been the whole church age, because Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And for seven church ages, he's been building the church. All right? So that's the only announcement here of the kingdom because the gospel age comes to an end.
Amen.
Right under the seventh trumpet, everything winds up there because time is no more for the Gentiles. And the last bit of time that the Jews had been promised in Daniel's 70 weeks, they are receiving it right there.
Amen.
The two prophets is not to come. They are on the earth already and they prophesy. They're already in the prophecy when that announcement is being made. Amen. The bride is already in heaven in the palace. And he's already been crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the marriage supper, all these things. Then he's going to come back there in Revelation 19 with the armies out of heaven to set up his kingdom on the earth. Okay. So Daniel's vision was from the head of gold in Babylon right down to that time.
Yeah.
Because the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ was the very same kingdom because there was going to be no time the Jewish nation was going to rise until after the days of Iron Clay.
Amen?
Because it was scattered all the time.
Yes,
there was not even power to scatter through the world.
Amen.
The land was captured by other people. And as a nation, they were scattered through the earth. Because Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. But Paul and all these great teachers, looking in the Old Testament, they saw Naomi coming back. They saw Joseph making himself known to his brethren. They saw the prophecies of Ezekiel and different ones of Israel, the dry bones, can the dry bones live, come unto the graves in the last days.
Amen.
They saw a rebuilding the house of Jacob in the last days. They saw the Davidic promise never yet fulfilled. So they always thought a restoration for Israel. Because they saw it in the scriptures and they said that a nation will be born in one day. That's why nobody can go over there and try to influence no Jew, you know. Because you're not going to save them one by one. You're going to save 141,000 one time. The nation will be born in a day.
Amen.
Just coming one here, one over here, one. But Israel is a whole nation in one day. And when God showed the position of those nations, from Daniel's time in Babylon right down to the last days, what was happening? He only showed Gentile nations, Gentile powers, and Israel was broken. But yet there was a prophecy there. Then in the last days, they were going to come back.
Amen.
And that prophecy of the Davidic covenant, the son of David, who's going to set his throne, because the wise men saw his time in the east, and they came to worship him.
Amen.
Jesus told him, he said, Father, does thou say to all the kings of Jews? He said, thou sayest?
Amen.
Amen. I am. Amen.
Amen.
And they didn't believe him. They mocked him and put a purple robe on him. And bought the king of the Jews. They put a crown of thorns on his head.
Amen.
Amen. But yet there was a true Davidic promise.
Amen.
Amen. That he's going to come back there and that throne is going to be established. There shall not be one fair David. So all these Gentiles will have the kingdom until Shiloh comes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Then there'll be a great announcement, a great revealing of Shiloh coming. Hallelujah.
Yes.
A great secret in the midst of all this going on. He'll drop down like a thief in the night.
Yes.
Well, you mean to say all this great big kingdom in this splendor, that's promised. Amen. All the nations round about shall have peace. Amen. He shall rule all nations with a rod of iron. He shall set up in Jerusalem. Amen. It is so great and glorious. Look at Solomon of that type. Over 1,000 wives. Amen. Showing a many-membered body. Amen. All the kings will have peace with him. All the kings brought the tribute. Amen. Unto Solomon, a type of the millennium back there. Those things have never been manifested. Where are the anti-types of those types? It have not yet been made. There have to be a span of time for that to come in reality. Hallelujah. Let us fight within you how much you want. Amen. Hallelujah. That last part of the word in the plan of redemption for the restored Eden have to be fulfilled. The world don't know that. But because the book is open, we can look in and see it.
Yeah.
And when that great time comes, the golden age,
back out in the world when you should read a lot of this philosophy and go into all this mysticism. Amen. There was talk of all these, there was somewhere a time when a golden age will come on the earth and all the clairvoyant powers that man have. Amen. Will come on the earth and all the mental telepathy and all the communications by mental telepathy and all these things will be back dwelling resident in man. After we come away from this great materialistic age, they saw a golden age breaking over the horizon. But only a perversion of the millennium where the manifested sons of God in a glorified body will be raining upon the earth as kings and priests. All nations subject righteousness shall be established in the earth. The lion will lay down with the lamb in that kingdom. Sitting with the bunk for 1,000 years. No aeroplanes, no motor cars, no skyscrapers. All these things will go. In the next couple of years, it's the dead place. Next attraction coming soon. Hallelujah. It takes rapture and faith to see that. It takes seven thunder faith to look over the horizon. Amen. To look away from this world. Who could have seen Egypt, all the pyramids they built, with mighty nation and science, in glory and splendor, amen, in one day.
2.5 million was rejoicing on the sea bank. Hallelujah. And the enemy was strong. Hallelujah. It don't bother me. No intellectual reasoning and science don't bother me. I watch the world and know the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. Hallelujah! Glory to God, amen! That don't bother real believers. If you're a believer and you've been born again and you receive that heavenly spirit, there is something when you look at this world, you see judgment hanging over it. It's like a snowflake, looking so pretty and nice, but about to be dropped in a fiery furnace. Hallelujah! God said so! Hallelujah! Amen! So back here in the scriptures, God showing Daniel, there's only going to have Gentile kingdoms come right down. And there's going to hit a time when they run into a kingdom be worse than all the rest. And that's going to go right down to the end time until it come right down into the very nations under the sun. All of them will be so deeply rooted with that kingdom. The spirit of that very kingdom will be within them. And we look here upon the face of the earth and see that what kind of spirit, what was upon Daniel and them, that they could stay all those years and see right down to this very hour so accurately. Yeah. You mean to say after 100% record like that, somebody will doubt the rest can't come to pass? Hallelujah. Amen. No way. The very fact that God is revealing this thing, show you, we caught up in the midst. Something is already happening, amen. And the believers recognizing what God is doing. Amen. So when Daniel saw it, he didn't saw no promise for the Jewish nation inside of the air. And you watch history, how it comes so plain that the Jewish nation didn't come back until this last generation here. Get back the land, then come and have their own money. Is a nation there, their own Navy, Air Force, everything. Amen. And right now, after 36 years, then the power, watch and see, they're getting ready to receive a mighty visitation. Amen. Amen. Not this bunch of people here, all this bunch of politicians and worldly people there, they are going to be in the fire, they are going to be destroyed. But that real bunch is who's going to receive the message. Amen. As your brother was telling me, he said, back in Israel there, they went and they saw them real Jews. They see a woman, they dress covering the knees. Amen. Amen. They by the wall there and they're praying. You just see them get together and worship. The expectation is, spirit is among them. They know something is fixing to happen. Look at that bunch there. Amen. They call them a bunch of fanatics. But they're telling themselves, these two temples supposed to be removed and the real temple rebuilt. Amen. And yet they can go out, brother, and face the whole system. Amen. To bring that to pass. They are looking for something to happen. Amen. And when you see people in that way on a natural level, fearless, courageous, holding on to a scripture inside of there in the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. And have some, those same people, you know what happened the other day too? They had a census. The census of people. And they stood up and they retaliate heavily against it. They say, God said don't number Israel. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. They don't number the people. Yeah. And they begin to war against them. Yeah. And they find, what's the matter with this bunch of fanatics? Amen. Yeah. They're taking the Bible literal. Yeah. Amen. Why do they think like educated people? Why do they be a little more scientific in their outlook? I mean, it's after all, in the 20th century. They have nothing to do with that. Hallelujah. The very spirit is the spirit of this Bible. Amen. Something's anointing them. Something is turning their hearts. Nobody going to pull no wool over their eyes. Amen. You know, and back there when you have a presence still, you try to think of Israel yesterday. Abraham says, on the Sabbath day, they lock them gates. All right? Because Sabbath, everybody has to keep the Sabbath. You think that today they can close and say, everybody keep the Sabbath? So much of different influences, so much of different people, people who in power who make up the laws and these things, half of them had to play politics and compromise with other nations and these things. And that little bunch inside of there, they're making one set of fuss too, with all this kind of place open on Friday evening and Saturday. Amen. Because they're waiting there. They say, they believe, keep that word. Forget. You're in the midst of a lot of progressing nations. Forget what the nation's doing. Amen. Forget what this one's doing. And that. Forget how big America and how big the... Forget that. Be watching the world. That kind of spirit in them. May that kind of spirit be inside of you too. Yeah. You watch this Bible and the whole world will contend to serve God alone. You stand here on God's word. Yeah. Amen. And that little bunch down there, but their heart has been warmed. Amen. And those rabbis there, amen, they're keeping them anointed with the promise. And every time they have that, they're looking for Elijah to come. Amen. And they said they don't call that wall the Wailing Wall no more. They call it the Western Wall now. Amen. Amen. They fought and they secure back that wall. Amen. Belongs to them now. They don't have to fight for it no more. Amen. That's your Western Wall. That's your possession. And they stand and they pray now. Amen. With an expectation. Because they could feel something there. If the Pentecostals back there, like Jack Morton could feel the pull of the hour being Christians and say, fast and pray, send a prophet, we need a prophet. What about Israel, who is really promised a prophet and he haven't come as yet? Yeah. The Pentecostal prophet was right on the platform and they couldn't see it. Yeah. Night after night, a sign was being done, the world, God vindicating it. Yeah. He said, because they are Christians and they feel the pull of the hour. Yeah. They know something is fixing to happen, but they couldn't recognize it. And the same way, here they are, but they're going to recognize it because they're ordained to recognize it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And then right here in the scriptures, as we're talking there about Daniel, in the book of Daniel, his prophecy was mainly, his prophecy encompasses from Babylon, the head of gold, which he was right there at the time, under Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, who was two kings there that ruled in Babylon before the Medes and the Persians come in. And he saw during those times
right down to the last days when the millennium is going to be set up. When the rock without hands smite the toes. It didn't smite in the knees. It didn't smite in the head. It didn't smite in the chest. It smote the image in the toes. Amen. I know Eisenhower, Khrushchev was clay.
Amen.
Amen. And those 10 nations is here. Amen. And they're standing here. And that millennium, Jesus comes 3 times. He comes to die for his bride, to redeem his bride. He comes to claim his bride.
Amen.
Revelation 10, like a thief in the night. Romeo stole Juliet.
Amen.
And the 3rd time he comes to reign with his bride.
Yeah.
Now when the rock smite the image in the toes, that is when he comes to reign with his bride. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Then Daniel saw that happening in the days of the iron and clay. He's coming to reign with his bride. Except the millennium. That is the 3rd coming. The 1st coming was in the legs of iron when pagan Rome killed him on the cross.
Amen.
Then somewhere, there is to have a 2nd coming.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
And we are already in the iron and clay.
Yeah.
That's already gone so much years now. We're back in the late 50s. Going on to the 60s is when Khrushchev and them were the leader of those 5 Eastern nations. Eisenhower, the leader of the 5 Western nations. Those kingdoms still here, those men die, but the spirit and the work is being continued.
Amen.
Amen. And then 1963, the 2nd coming begin to be revealed.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Then it was a comeback around in a 2nd cycle in the 2nd coming.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory. Yeah. And we are right here. Caught up in the midst of it. And we see what is the speed that they're heading into. Behold, the turtle come quickly. And we see what must happen to the church before she goes up.
Yeah.
And we see where the image of the beast is exercising the authority of the dragon. We see it already shaping up to such a place where it can happen at any time.
Yeah.
And we see what is happening with Israel. And during that time, the Holy Spirit will be seeking out on his hearts that he can fill them with the Holy Ghost. After he closes them doors, he will pour his power among them. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's nothing, so in Daniel, no, I used to get a little trouble reading myself. But I just begin to find it begin to get so clear now too, because you see Daniel and Revelation is one. It's because in the book of Revelation, when it speaks over here, you find what is actually happening in Daniel is just speaking mainly of the times of the Gentiles. Now, let's pick it up in Luke 21. In Luke 21. I want to get familiar with some of these things, you see? Because we're in a time here, is church and state coming together, and you watch and see, only the wise will understand. They will not be caught in the air. The Holy Spirit will be moving amongst them in such a way. Luke 21, reading from verse 20. And when you shall see Jerusalem come past with army, this is Jesus giving Israel a national sign in the days of his ministry. And if you want to pick up more on that, you pick up the message, uniting time and sign. He said, you know that the destination is near. Then let them who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them who are in the midst of it depart. And let not them that are in the countries enter into it. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that our child, and to them that nurse children or give suck in those days. We are, those who was in service last night, the prophet was explaining part of the same scripture in Matthew 24. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, which are the Jews. This people. They had rejected the Son of Man ministry, and he was now telling them Titus is coming. Amen. After he's coming to destroy the sanctuary of flood. Ezekiel 9, Daniel 9, all those prophecies in there was getting ready to come to pass. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword. This time it will be atomic power.
Yeah.
Back there was by the edge of the sword. That the weapons were used back in those days. And shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles. Because Jesus was watching Daniel and prophesying.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now turn to Romans 11. Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles, because only Gentile nations, right down until the kingdom of the God of heaven comes. And that is the son of David. Because God promised David that throne. Romans 11. Paul speaking here in Romans, you know Romans 11. This great mystery of election being revealed, and how he's talking about the Gentile church, the wild olive branch, grafted in. Amen. And then the Jews, the real olive tree, because the Jews is blinded for our sake, for us to come in. Romans 11, let's take from verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them who fell severity, but toward the goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also shall be cut off. If God cut off the Jews to bring you in, he said, take care, you get lifted up in pride, take care, you're feeling something, and you don't continue on in the goodness that God extend to you. And the last day, the Gentile church is promised to be blind, Revelation 3:14. And the Jews gather back in the homeland waiting to recognize Messiah. And God going to judge this bunch of unbelieving Gentiles who reject the Son of Man ministry again. Yeah. Same thing is happening. Verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. He's talking about Israel restoration. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, were grafted in, contrary to nature, in a good olive tree, how much more shall these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? He put up an argument here telling the people Israel must be restored. Amen. He's telling them, don't think it's the only Gentiles from here on out. Many of them know the scriptures. He's telling them, look, he's preaching a promise of a restoration of Israel to them. And proving it. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Amen. Lest you should be wise in your own country, that blindness in part, not full blindness in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, over here, the times of the Gentiles. Over here, the fullness of the Gentiles. Now, the difference is one is speaking politically, one is speaking in the realm of the church.
Amen.
Amen. The times of the Gentiles end when the stone smite the ten toes. Yeah. Revelation 19, when he comes with a sharp sword of his mouth, he smite them ten nations. Amen. That is happening there. You take Daniel 2, and you take Revelation 19, and you see the whole picture right there. Now what's something? Then also, the fullness of the Gentiles is speaking about the church age. Seven church ages, where it's called a people out his namesake, a portion in every age. Amen. And we in the bride age, all 7 years are finished, and we in the lap over between the Laodicea age and the Jewish age. Because the ages don't stop here and start here. They lap over, and we are in the lap over. 21 years of lap over.
Amen.
And the last of time shall be no more, and the lap over will cease. The door will swing shut on the seventh peak, and judgment will go forth.
Amen.
Now what's something? So when the church goes up, the Gentile nations still continue to trodden down Jerusalem. Revelation 11, it talks about an outside the city there, the Gentiles will trod it down. Amen. When them prophets come, and they see them begin to call out them 140,000. What's going to happen? The beast is going to bring his armies against them.
Yeah.
They'll be smiting the little plagues. And they're going to eventually kill them two prophets and send gifts.
Yeah.
And the prophet says the Roman nation, the only nation in the whole history who sent gifts after victory.
Yeah.
He says Rome right there. It's a perversion of God giving him a gift to the overcomer reward.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. See, don't impersonate no holy way long. And all impersonators will open the lake of fire.
Amen.
Amen. And you see somebody impersonating is one of them spirits of Rome.
Amen.
They can have a lovely message. It's a spirit from Rome.
Amen.
because is he impersonate the real spirit all along.
Amen.
Now watch. Quickly here. So we find them. The word actually happening, because here we get these things when it's late. We already have, we staff in my hand. Your loins girded up. You're eating this bread in haste, you know. Yes, yes, you know, with a wide, starry eye. Getting some more knowledge here. You're eating this bread in haste. Waiting for the trumpet to song. You're stuffing your hand. Hey, you're talking on the spirit on the outside. And you're eating the lamb in haste on the inside.
Amen.
Now watch. So the fullness of the Gentiles, the church age, when the religious part is finished and the church goes up, the political part is still going on until the church that goes up come back with Christ and smite the ten toes, the kings of the earth who is gathered with the beast in Revelation 19.
Amen.
In the battle of Armageddon. And right now, they all being deceived by these false anointed ones, working miracles, and these three unclean spirits like frogs among them out, this Trinity Spirit bringing church and state together down to Armageddon. It's all going on now in this great ecumenical move.
Amen.
All right. Because they all wanted peace. They all wanted love.
Yes.
Amen. And when the same locust that slay one third part of the people in the two wars come forth now without tanks and bombs,
Amen.
They embrace it. Because they thought this is the answer. But they didn't realize the very same spirit now in religious men that was in dictators. So instead of the United Nations voice in the thing, the World Council of Churches is the voice, you know, permanent voice in all these things. Because in the realm of religion, they're all consolidating together because the Catholics have the word. And she have deceived those Protestants thinking that they're going to make a stand against communism and they're going to have the peace secure and they will never enter into another war. But then we know what is happening. They're all going to be, he told Russia, he said, I'll put a thought, I'll make you think a evil thought in that day.
Amen.
You think God is God, amen?
Amen.
He said, I'll put a hook in your jaw. Get Ezekiel 38 and 39. He said, I'll put a hook in your jaw, and you will think, here's that little nation.
Amen.
No walls, there's nothing. Just come out to all the nations recently. Amen. After the World War II, there, and they maybe get a little, pull back up their flag, and they talk big, and they shoot up one or two small little Arab nations around them. But let's go down there and take over. And when they think they're going to meet the armies of Israel, they're going to meet he that keepeth Israel.
Amen.
They're going to be the armies of heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit right now among his people, moving, riding. Riding. Just as Brother Ramsey said, he said, you can see Lucifer and that group riding going there, and you know what they're up to. And you can see Michael and his group riding, and you know what they're up to also. They've seen a kingdom being to be set up, and the devil himself incarnate in flesh, the man has seen the temple, and we've seen the very same kingdom set up, and we've seen our God in flesh also on the earth.
Amen.
Amen. And we are both riding two different trails. Hallelujah. Glory. Now watch. It's a great time. It's a great hour. It's a beautiful picture when you can break into it and see it.
Amen.
Amen. You realize that all these things head in one direction. Amen. You will not be confused. You know the answer already.
Amen.
So that is why when they bring all the different smoke screens and all these false publication in the news and all this play down and water down, it don't fool you because you know the answer already.
Amen.
You know what the answer has to be.
Amen.
They're not going to sway your thinking and hold you in ignorance. No, sir.
Amen.
The seventh angel come and sung the mystery. The seals have been pulled back. The secret is out. The devil's keep is uncovered. Hallelujah! You have the devil answer!
Amen.
Amen. Amen! Hallelujah! So quickly now, Daniel, this book of Daniel, so Daniel encompasses from the head of gold to the toes of Ankle and the center of the millennium and that rock come and smite it, and it have a little portion in Daniel 12, 2 and 3 where it speaks about the resurrection there, and also in Daniel 7, 9 and 10 It speaks about the resurrection, which is the second resurrection. Amen. At the white throne judgment, it picks up that. No, but mostly it's right there in the political realm, and especially in the latter part, where the Jews in the last ago, the vision was for the latter times, and that's the time that we know. So then, where it might be confusing in the book there all along, and when they go into a little history, and that history, it should give a little trouble if you didn't understand where it fit in, because after Daniel saw back his own vision, not Nebuchadnezzar's dream, God gave him visions, and in there, maybe we could pick it up in Daniel. Let's turn to Daniel 7. I can't go to the notes here, and I just have to say this, I get my inspiration. So it might be better this way. Daniel 7. Kind of full up some of the spaces in your mind so we could, everybody know what Daniel 2, right? Daniel 2 is Nebuchadnezzar's image that he dreamt. But this here now, Daniel 7, we're going to Daniel visions, you know. Between that time and that time is the fall of Babylon and Darius him coming in and Daniel being thrown in the lions den and different things. But here now is coming to Daniel vision now. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told him some of the matters. Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, a four winds of the heaven threw upon the great sea. Now, sea is multitude of people, you know that. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld it till the wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between its teeth. And they said, thus unto it arise, devour much flesh. Now this is just like what John was seeing. You see, it's prophecy but symbolized. And the characteristics of the thing that was symbolizing the nations and the kings and the powers and these things, because beasts represent power. It was by the nature of the beast that was symbolizing the power, it was showing the kind of character that was in those people there. See? After that, I beheld and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon its back four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with its feet, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before which there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Then the vision went into another realm here, and they began to speak. And I beheld till the thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair on his head like pure wool, and his throne was like the fire from his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000 ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Now, you notice how it started here? Look how in those visions from those few verses we read, start from Babylon right there, the first beast, and go right down until the second resurrection. He picked up the four beasts, and the fourth one went right down to the end, straight on, and he beheld, it went so close down to the second resurrection, that he even beheld the second resurrection, the Ancient of Days and these things. And I beheld verse 11, then because the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I beheld till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. You preach a message back there. Sometime that is Revelation 20 right here. You're picking up. Because the thing is here, what is so confusing, verse 9 and 10 is the last part of the vision. But it starts off describing the last part first. Because verse 9 and 10 is the white throne judgment. But verse 11 to 14 is the end of the Battle of Armageddon. Right inside of here, where the beast was slain, his body destroyed, and given to the lake of fire, through the burning flame. And the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season. I saw in the night visions, and beheld one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. Now this is the millennium coming in right here now. So you notice the white throne judgment is after the millennium, but he's describing different parts of the vision. Amen. He started describing the white throne judgment part, then he started describing part of the battle of Armageddon, then he dropped back and started describing now part with the millennium, where the Son of Man is going to come and the kingdoms is going to be given over to him. That's in the white throne judgment. And that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Amen. I, Daniel, was given my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me, and I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, who shall arise out of the earth. Here's the interpretation now. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. Amen? When will they take it? In the millennium. Because that fourth beast go right down, and that fourth beast is still ruling right now. Amen? And possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. That's why Revelation 5, when the book is open, it's been revealed to us that we shall reign as king and priest. That's why we receive the Holy Spirit now to know that we who suffer with him will reign with him. Amen. That revelation is coming to you now. Amen. He's gathering his redeemed subject now. Amen. Amen. Because when you appear as judge with the white wig, it's between priesthood and kingship. Amen. So you see all these things happening now in between here. Verse 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, because that's the one that troubled me. You want to know about that one. Whose teeth were of iron, and its nail of brass, which devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped the resin with his feet. And the 10 horns that were in its head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even that horn that had eyes, and a mouth who spoke very great things, who looked was more stout than its fellows. And I have a very good idea who that is right now. And I beheld, because remember them kings started off as Caesars but end up as spiritual kings, popes. And this one is more stout than all his fellows. He have done more than all they ever do. Travel more than all them. Had influenced more nations than all of them. Have all of them in his hands. Queens and presidents and all these great people. All right. I beheld on the same horn, same one, made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Revelation 13:7. Who did he make war with the beast and after he made war against the saints and he killed them? All right. And for him to make war against them, you have to get the power of the state. And you see where he's carrying right now. He's going there to make war with the saints. But the third angel message reveals that to the elect. And when they go up, the next verse is what? Revelation 49:30. It says, blessed are they who die in the Lord. And then from 14 to 20 was Armageddon. Yeah. All right? We took that this week here. So right now, between 9 to 12, getting the third angel message. Revelation 9:14. Blessed are they who die in the Lord. Revelation 13:7, the same thing, where he's going to make war with the saints and kill them. They have to get alive, the full version. Noah go through the tribulation period. Enoch goes up. Amen. He made war and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. Amen. Came in Revelation 19 to make war with the beast now. He will make him all the sins, but then who is able to make all the beasts? What that other one come? Sharp to his talk about his mouth. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings. Carry the same beast, seven heads and ten horns, ten toes was ten kings in the image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, ten horns and the beast was ten kings, same ten kings. Amen. Same red dragon with seven heads and ten horns, all the time ten kings. Thus, he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. First was Babylon, second was Medes and Persia, third was Greece, fourth was Rome. And Rome, as political Rome, went on to become papal Rome, and is still papal Rome tonight. Which shall be diverse from all other kingdoms, shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the times and laws, and they shall be given in his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That's 3.5 years always. Back in Revelation, you get 3.5 years, 1,300 score days, 42 months. In one place, they call it 42 months. Revelation 13, Revelation 12, they call it times and half a time. Then in Revelation 11, they call it 1,300 score days. It's always 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy unto the end. Amen. And the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much trouble me, and my countenance changing me, but I kept the matter in my heart. He saw it, he got it explained, but he never saw what happened. But you are seeing exactly where it's taking place. Now let's continue a little bit. I want to get something further here. In the third year now of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after which appeared unto me at the first. Now this is the third year of the reign of Belshazzar. This vision we just read here was the first year in the reign of Belshazzar. So 2 years after, he come and he's getting this vision now. He said, I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes, and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward, and northward, and southward. So it was coming from the east. Amen. So that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west over the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran on him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with anger against him, and smote the ram and broke his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore, the he-goat grew very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And from it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of heaven. Now keep that in your mind. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, only four horns, which groweth exceedingly great toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. The pleasant land is always Israel. Yes. Now, it will take a little history to bring out those things here, so you'll understand the one at the north and the one at the south was. Amen? We'll get them just now. And it grew great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts, and the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it continued and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint who spoke, how long shall be the vision concerning daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host be trampled underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And the 7 days people get these things mixed up a lot. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning. Now, that isn't the vision, that isn't the vision. Now, it comes to the meaning now. Then behold, there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man. Son of man is always prophet. Is he out there? For the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns, these are the kings of Mede and Persia. Now right, let me get clear here now. He was in the time of Belshazzar. And Belshazzar was after Nebuchadnezzar. And Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar were both kings of Babylon. And Babylon is the head of gold. All right? So what he was seeing was the Medes and Persians of the east coming and rising power, becoming a great nation, pushing eastward, westward, southward, and northward, becoming great. All right. And the rough goat is the king of Greece. And that was Alexander. That was the ties of brass that came in and broke the Medes and Persians power, because the Medes and Persians fell to Greece. How many know that? Yeah. All right. So he was still in the head of gold, seeing the two consecutive ages, which was already represented in the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and which was later shown in the same visions of the four beasts come out of the earth, which was the same four kingdoms in the image. But here is in the head of gold, seeing the silver and brass, those kingdoms coming, how they're going to come into power, and how much kings was going to be there for each kingdom until that power fell. He said, you see, the rough goat is the king of Greece, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, and the first king was Alexander. And he died 33. He didn't live long. After he conquered the whole world, both, Barham said, there's another king conquer both worlds, seen and unseen, at the age of 33 also, was Jesus Christ. But Alexander conquered the world at the age of 33. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And it was his four generals that came there, and his kingdom, which was many of those nations like Syria and Persia, all those kingdoms there, Egypt, that was under the jurisdiction of Greece. Just like Israel was under the jurisdiction of Rome. Alexander conquered the world. Then those four kings, that kingdom was divided in four, and those four generals became the kings of those kingdoms. You understand what we say now? Because none of them was as great as Alexander. And the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are coming to the full, a king of fierce countenance, and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And eventually, you know, Greece fell to Rome. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and continue, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft. And if you have a Scopy Bible, they have deceit. They put that word in craft mean deceit, but the prophet in revealing the first seal, he said craft mean manufacturing. And he says to the industry and this is what's going to prosper and where they're going to control the economics of the world. And I'm going to read out in the seal for you just now. Right here. So you'll see where that, yes, king of a dark continent, where he's coming up in the last is right out of Rome. Because Greece has fell to Rome. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace, shall destroy many. My. By peace shall destroy many. And by preaching peace, coming and taking care of my flatteries. In this great world, peace and love, and all the world, when we say peace, peace. Coming together for a world peace. All these millions of Protestants have been destroyed. Taking the mark of the beast and going straight to hell. Forgetting what they suffered under Catholicism. Amen. Amen. Falling for it because they've been shaken up in those two wars. Amen. That they're thinking they're going to help bring peace on the earth. Not knowing peace is to come by Jesus Christ. Amen. And they're trying to get a promise of God, but in the wrong channel. Amen. And going about it, they're being deceived and many being destroyed by peace. And he shall also stand up against the prince of princes. And you know who that is? But he shall be broken without hand. Hallelujah! And the vision of the evening and morning which is told is true. Wherefore shut up the vision, for it shall be for many days. But not for many days more, you're going to know. That vision is coming to pass now. And I, Daniel, fainted our 6 days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but not understood it. And then you go to Daniel 9, he talked there about the Jews, the 70 weeks. All right? Now, we took Daniel 10 here, and in Daniel 10, he's talking about the vision that was coming unto him. And let's take Daniel 11, because we had Daniel 10, just to make it a little plainer here for you. And then we drop the revelation for the next 15 minutes, tie it up together. And you'll understand what I'm trying to get at. Daniel 11. Yeah, Daniel 10, that was the vision there where he saw Revelation 10. All right? And I'm going to show you. Now, what's something now, you know? Where did he see that angel come down whose eye like a flame of fire, who mounted like a multitude of water, whose feet was like fine brass? Where was that? By the Hiddekel River. Now what Daniel 10 and Revelation 10 is the same thing. And what Daniel 12 and Revelation 12 is the same thing. So Daniel 12 is talking about Michael. Sandy Lazarus. Revelation 12 is talking about Michael for the Jewish people. The woman who's going to bring forth the son and the dragon child devour it. Is that correct? And Daniel 10 talking about, so what the parallel right here? Daniel 10 and Revelation 10. Daniel 12 and Revelation 12. Because I'm getting that Daniel heard those seven thunders. And the seven thunders are between the trumpets and the trumpets are talking about political instruments, and Daniel is speaking about the political realm with the nations and the kings. All right. Now what? Daniel 11. So you notice most of Daniel is only a description of visions, and most of them visions don't come to pass already. Amen? He always bought them four beasts and bringing on the last one always down to the end. Daniel 11. And I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, notice Daniel 10:1 was Cyrus king of Persia, and Daniel 11:1 is Darius the Mede, because Medes and Persians. first was Darius was ruling, then Cyrus came in afterwards. You see, because apparently, like, I believe Jesus Copeland says, to be true, he said maybe Darius was like a general ruling there for Cyrus over that part of the country until Cyrus came in himself and ruled there, because the Medes and the Persians had come from Persia, coming all the way over to Babylon, coming this way, westward, taking up all these places that they're conquering. That and the first little horn was Darius, and the greater horn came up afterwards. But when Alexander comes, he broke up all them horns. All right? Okay, now what? And also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even my eyes to be confirmed and to strengthen him. Now who's saying I doing that? The angel that come to him. In other words, this is like, and in the 25th year, in 1981, of Eric William, the Prime Minister, we had a revival broke out here when the angel came down. And then the fourth year of Prime Minister Chambers. You know what I'm saying? Then the angel came back and began revealing seven trumpets. All right. Okay. It's like that. That this is going on during those times. And then here is like we get a found that God ruling the affairs of man. And before anybody else could take over, God has had the right person to come in there. All right. To play the right of a politics. As I say, like in Israel right now. To get the right king. All right. To make the covenant in Rome. Maybe he can come in here in this election, the 23rd. Right now he's in the lead already, very popular. See, he wants to give up the West Bank, he wants peace, he wants better economic situation. And you want to see how quickly after he can go and meet the Pope, or the Pope go to Israel or some kind of thing. It's all heading up to that there, because the money has been tied up in America already. Since I preach on the money proposition here, know what? Because you see, Rome wants to get the money tied up and break the covenant. Change the money system, bring it to gold, and then they have all the bulk of paper, they have to throw it away. It worth nothing. Now what? So right here now, just like in Matthew there too, when Herod, but I'm saying at that time, that murderous king had to be there to fulfill Jeremiah's prophecy, Rachel weeping for her children. And them priests would get vexed and say, why did Herod, the pastor, God just pass this taxation? Because they said, get the bride into Bethlehem so you can fulfill the prophecy. But here the angel saying, I, in the first year, because the same angel in the 20th and 21st verse of chapter 10 was saying, I'm going back to fight with the prince of Persia. And after I go and fight, then the prince of Greece is going to come. He said, I also, in the first year, Darius, even I stood and confirmed the strength in him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, I shall stand up yet three kings in Persia. In other words, you tell them, before the silver give way to the brass, before Persia give way to Greece, it will have three kings will rule there. So all this only history goes back there. But to give you understanding the prophecy, how it keep coming, so you won't get confused and think this is down here. You will see where that fits. See? He said there shall be three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than all. Now what opportunity you have in the political realm, eh? And by strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. Maybe they might get an oil boom. The industry and different things might discover, let's say, uranium or something right there. Amen. Discover some oil well. And at the last time, they say, well, money's no problem in Trinidad. All right? Nothing is going on. And by the riches, being our strength. So when you have riches, then it means say you have strength. You can lend this one, you can lend one. You can play the game now, because the game is play by money. See, you can control economics. Here it is now. He said, after they're gonna stop war against Greece, without the mystery going to make. And a mighty king shall stand up. And that was the rough he goat. that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken by this fourth king of Persia, and shall be divided. No, sorry, that is Alexander. And after he shall stand up, then his kingdom shall be broken when he dies, and shall be divided towards the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his kingdom, which he rules, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. And then from verse 5 right down to verse 45 in chapter 11 is going on to speak about those other four kings there and the different kingdoms that they were under control of. But when it comes to chapter 12 now, he said, and at that time shall Michael stand. Now let me see what we're getting up here. The next 2 minutes. Now what? Daniel heard the seven thunders. And we find that that's right here in Revelation 10. Because from Revelation 10 to Daniel 10 to Daniel 12 is right by the river where the angel sat by the river revealing them his visions. And tell him, seal it up in a book until the time ends. So Daniel 10 and Revelation 10 is the very same thing. Because the very same one that come down there to Daniel in Daniel 10 is the same one, eyes like a flame of fire, feet like fine brass, his voice like a multitude of waters and these things, is the very same person, clothed in linen, which is Jesus Christ. All right? Now what's something? And when he comes down there at that time, and he says, seal up those things until the end, like he told John, until the day before he sent the angel, when the book will be unsealed, so righteous, seal up those things and leave it alone until that time. Now what's going to happen? And at that time shall Michael come. At that time shall Michael, the archangel, stand to deliver those names from in the book. Because he's going to open the book. And when he opened the book, then the names that found written in the book would have to be revealed. And he's going to deliver them. And right after delivering those names, it's going to resurrection. Because the author of the book is connected to the resurrection. Yes. But notice when they come to the revelation now, in the New Testament, we find out there's different sections of the book. And we find out there's more than one resurrection. So in the book of Revelation, we're going to further now. And we find out that there's a voice of the archangel, which is a voice of the resurrection. All right? Now, I tell you, I was trying to get to Revelation 10. But to get to Revelation 10, this is the seven thunders that John heard. Daniel heard it. And why are we going to Daniel? Because the seven thunders uttered voices beating the trumpets. And the trumpet is political disturbance, and that's what Daniel saw, the times of the Gentiles, the political dispensation of Gentile rulership over Israel until Jesus comes and set up his own kingdom. Amen. And then we find out from the head of gold down to the toes of iron clay is right on this time we have been in. So then here, Daniel saw this very, the political part of this time. Now in the book of Revelation, when we come to the book of Revelation, then the political realm is put under the trumpet. Yeah. The church realm is put under the church, as in the seals. The judgment is put under the vials. Yeah. But Daniel saw the judgment. He saw the political realm. He saw the realm of the church. Yeah. But he didn't call it trumpets and seals and vials. And he didn't call it that. But in the book of Revelation, when you talk about the realm of politics, you talk about the trumpet. You talk about the church, you talk about the seals, because that is where that is. So here it is now. These things is being revealed at a certain time when that is being made known to the church. Quickly, let me give you a little quotes and close. Revelation book of symbols. I just love this. You enjoying it? Amen. You see the thing with us, we believe many things without knowing the Bible. We just read it of a spoken book and say, believe what the prophet says. But when somebody is coming with an interpretation, then they get confused because they never know it of the Bible. You see? Now what? Listen to this carefully. Page 10, paragraph 52, Revelation Book of Symbols. You remember Daniel? Daniel at the end of his ministry, he saw a flash vision at the closing of his ministry, a vision seer. Paragraph 56, same page. He said, Daniel, when he was closing his ministry, a great prophet, there was an angel that followed him, and the angel told Daniel, said, you are beloved before God. And Daniel couldn't talk, perhaps face to face with God, but God sent an angel intermediate between him and God that he could talk between them. An angel, the very word angel means messenger. If a boy was at the door and knocked at the door, lad told the ushers, I have a telegram here for Mr. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, he would be a messenger with the angel. Your pastor, when he stands here on the platform ministering the word of God, he's God's angel in the church, messenger of the church. Therefore, a pastor should never leave that word, but stay right to that word because he's feeding the shepherd straight. Because the word pastor means shepherd. Look it up and find out if that is right. A pastor is a shepherd, and the Holy Ghost has made him overseer over his church and flock to feed them. With what? The word of God. Paragraph 61, page 11. Then Daniel, closing at the last, he seen an angel come down, put one foot on the land, and on the sea, a rainbow over his head. And you'll see something remarkable here. Now he was by the Hiddekel River, where he saw that angel, where he saw that vision, where he heard those thunders, by the Hiddekel River. But Hiddekel River was only the other branch, was Euphrates this way, and Tigris this way, was Hiddekel. All right? Now that is the angel coming in Revelation 10. Amen? And Revelation 10 is the same thing Daniel saw in Daniel 10. Same post coming in the seven tunnels. Then that is the Hiddekel River. Because Revelation 9 is the Euphrates River. Just before Revelation 10. We took that this week and I took it all to you. But over here is not the natural Hiddekel River. And over here is not the natural Euphrates River. Because before you hit Revelation 10 is Revelation 9, which is the river Euphrates. And that is speaking about a system. And that word is coming here to call that people to reveal that system to bring them out. Amen. Because that very same Babylon that Daniel was standing by there. Babylon there. It is the mysteries of the Chaldeans. The mysteries of Babylon in there is what found its way over in Rome. Amen. That's the only place in the Bible Hiddekel River is mentioned. So Daniel, at the last, he seen an angel come down from the land when he see a rainbow. He raised up his hand, so by him, the little heaven and ever, a time shall be no more. At the finishing of that time, and he told him, in other words, that the body of time that we are living in now, from this time to the coming of the prince until this day, and until at that time the mystery of God to be finished. And the world groaning, waiting today, people don't know the mystery of God. Why? They have not been taught the mystery of God. The only thing they have been taught is join your church, put them in a book, be a good fellow, treat your neighbor right. That's all right. But you must know the mystery of God. No man can reveal it to you but the one who had the book. And the Bible said no one can call Jesus Christ only by the Holy Ghost. This grand old Holy Ghost church is going to come out one of these days and shine like you've never seen. Page 12. So remember Daniel was told by the angel. Daniel heard seven thunders. They uttered their voices. Daniel grabbed his parents at the right and the angel said, don't you write it? Are you ready? Let's get into it for the next 5 minutes. Don't you write it? John saw the same thing and had already been written outside the Bible and had seven seals on the back side that no man could open these seals. That was them voices. Here's the Bible written, which is a mystery itself, but on the back side of the Bible, the revelation was shown to Daniel. Say that there's seven voices to be uttered and no man could open. No man knew what it was, but the Bible said, and it told Daniel and also John that in the last days these seven voices would be made known by the real true church. I'm trying to show you if Revelation has been revealed, this is really happening, Daniel has to be made known. You can't have a revelation, go see Daniel. You know what I'm saying? You say you get it? Can you see where the force and conflict is trying to keep those great men from places like that? God in the last days is going to draw true hearts from everywhere, no matter how much conflict and chaff the devil has. God will rise his church right out of it. It will be a ceiling for short and standing platform and the hours at hand. The cold and formal is winning away. The evangelical and social gospel, all the other things are gone. The fanatic side is going in such radical fanaticism till anybody blind can see it. But God is pulling his church out like the great water lily that's the tiny seed born away down the bottom of the miry, mucky dirt. Frogs coming upon and it winds its way up to the muck, through all the mud, through all the scum, and become the finest thing you ever look in the face of, with a radiance like sunshine. So is the church of the living God. That's been born down the middle of fanaticism and chaos, but she's wounded away to the grime until she's on the top of the thing, just wait, setting her wings for that flight. Many run to and fro, and people that know that God shall do exploits in that day. God revelation this church, set the little flock, position, stay where you are. Amen. And sister, good things, sister, answer the thing, keep holding on, don't worry. God is waiting and trying and pressing to get at the mystery of God revealed to the church. That's what holding back the coming of Christ, you know, the great millennium, is this great supernatural power that lays dormant in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. And brother, you have the power to preach it. What he wants to see is to put this power in its beauty. So thankful to see it coming to pass. To see, so glad to see the event manifest the revelation of Jesus Christ. Page 139, Ephesians Church. There's seven seals. If you could just take the book of Revelation, that seal on the back of the book. It isn't written in the book, and them seals that will be opened during this church age. And them seven last mysteries of God, they are made known. Oh, I like to just keep it all winter and go through it. The seven church ages. What are we saying? When those seven thunders utter his voice in Revelation 10, all these things in Daniel is to be made known. Is that what he said? But Daniel heard the seven thunders. I talk about the real seven thunders. Amen. A lot of people have light on the seven thunders. But there's a full revelation of the seven thunders. He who have those seven thunders better compare with all the world. The new name and the unknown language and all these great things here have to be tied together with those seven thunders. Amen. That's why I'm reading here. No, Daniel heard the seven thunders, did he? Yeah. All right. And when he heard the seven thunders, he wrote those things here? Yeah. And sealed up until the end time? Yeah. And when Michael signed the last days, what Daniel saw is made plain? Yeah. When he comes to deliver them names from in that book? Yeah. And Daniel heard those seven thunders. He said, and forbidden, and John heard the voices. And the book was sealed, and the back of the book was still seven seals. But in the day of the season, we open the mystery of God will be finished. In other words, God will be known to his church, not in people, but as one person. The mystery of God would be revealed. And when that was completely revealed, then the seven mysteries would go to the church. Because in the air, in those seven mysteries, when it would be revealed to the church like this, the church will be living under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, him moving in and out among us. And then we are worshiping then the living Christ that is among us. Amen. Amen. When those seven thunders will be made known, the church will be living in the air under the inspiration of what those thunders said. Because those seven thunders do what? Gather the bride together, bring her out of Babylon, gather together, take up into rapture in faith. Gather because Shiloh is come. And the kingdom of this world is becoming the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Page 11. Even messenger, quickly, last quote and close. Each age has had its message and messenger. God has seen to that. Even the church age, you find out. Each one had a messenger. Each one lived their age. Another one coming. Another one went out. And another one coming on down to the seventh age. Each star, each angel. Amen. We find out at the last age over in Revelation 10, there will be a trumpet song. And there were seven voices uttered. They were not permitted to write. But it was still in the back side of the book. The seven seals was on the back side of the book. After the book is written, then sealed back there with seven seals. No one knows what they are. But it said in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, song for the message, that earthly angel now. Amen. Healed by the Hidical River. Spiritual. Amen. Hallelujah. And you petition will be on the other side. Spirit, y'all. Yes, sir. Amen. My. So you see that's right. Tonight, taking this, show that that revelation is right if you have any spiritual insight. Because Daniel heard the seven tongues, that Daniel 10. It's like Revelation 10. That was at the Hiddekel River. Amen. Hiddekel is the other side of the Euphrates River. Amen. Revelation 9 is the Euphrates River. Spiritual. Amen. Revelation 10. The same angel come down there. Speaking of seven tongues. Amen. So John, representing the church again. Hallelujah. And then we notice that he had a rainbow over his head, raised up his hands, so by him that live forever and ever, time should be no more. Now when these seven voices utter, these seven tongues utter their voices, he told them, don't write, but seal it, and we found it on the back side of the book. But when the seventh angel had finished his message, his prophecy of the day, then the mystery of God should be finished. Everybody knows the Bible? Say that's the mystery of God. What God is, who God is, all about the way of baptism and these things that should be settled in that day. Each messenger had his message, the message of the message of the age. And it is the most remarkable that each messenger we found in the church ages. Tonight we go back in the Old Testament, find the same thing. And God sent a messenger of that age at the end of the time, always at the end, never at the beginning, at the end. Now Luther age fade out, then Wesley come in, Wesley sanctification fade out, Pentecostal age come in. It always a messenger opens up a new message at the end of the old. Then after the end of the Pentecostal, came Malachi for one man scripture. Amen. The first fall in the bride age. Amen. Open up that portal of the mystery. Then the bride that come after the real bride in the bride age. Amen. So the body that follow the head. To take a greater than Sarah here, greater than Esther here. To preach the second portal of the mystery, the seventh seal. Showing that he has returned according to the time of life. Showing the world herself is identifying herself in the world itself. Opening up that second part of the mystery. That part of the unknown language. To pull out the real elected seed that is going in the first resurrection. And the rest who don't have that revelation, but trying to have some sensation to say that the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But the real true church going in by the revelation that they are the perfect matching piece. Hallelujah! Matching the word for the hour. Sorry, you have the other half of the Chinese ticket. Amen! Sorry, you have that name in the seven thunders. Walk in the middle of the road. Yeah. She's not in cold and tacky, and she's not wild and radical. How is she marching onward, Christian soldiers? Yeah. Old fashioned, hot, hot felt, warm gospel. Yeah. No man's person. Jesus Christ, the center of attraction. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. This is repeated each to the Bible. We find in the sacred scripture all the way through. Just at the end of the old age, the new one coming in. And just at the end, the bride, she's identifying herself. She's growing up in the world. When Alpha become Omega, she begins to go up to get ready for the Jewish age to open back up at the end of the bride age. And at the end of the Jewish age, what she comes out of heaven to open up the millennial age, the golden age. Amen. All the way down, they always come at the end. Amen. Hallelujah. Just all the little historical things you put in there tonight will fix it right. So if you strike Revelation 10, there it would be no mystery no more. And you would see if that angel is there, that angel is on the earth. Fixing things for the resurrection. Oh man, if your name is found written in that book, you're part of the mystery that was sealed up in Christ. Amen. You can never be lost. When that trumpet song, you shall go up. Amen. Didn't reveal to you all about these things inside of you. Amen. And you stand there, can't be deceived. Amen. Impossible for you to be deceived. You stand there, the word in your age. Manifested. Every true born again son and daughter of God is God's interpretation of his word for that age. Just tell the prophet. Hallelujah. Amen. Every time the messenger comes, all is called back to the word, never fails. Remember that the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. There can be nothing out of taking away the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. Only way we can ever be sure. If anything rises among us that's contrary to the revelation, then it's wrong. It's back to the word.
And look at all these things. Back to the word. Back to the message. Back to the message. Over and over. Page 35. Amen. Notice the end time messenger. His job is to get the saints ready. The bride ready for the bridegroom. And his message is getting you ready tonight. Amen. That will be his message. Now you want to learn ABCs so you can study algebra later. He was telling us that here. Now we get the algebra part now. Amen. Amen. When the other season, the back is open, they'll be revealed only to them. That little group inside of there, who's found within that book, those seven tongues will utter the voice to them, and they'll be living in there under the inspiration of those things. Amen. Worshipping the living Christ, showing himself alive by infallible proof in the midst. Hallelujah. Always believe Christ. Amen. See, that's the ABC. Always believe Christ. ABC, always believe Christ. Amen. That's ABC. No ABC, then you get algebra afterwards. Amen. Hallelujah. The algebra is here. Amen. Trumpets and bars and thunders and seeds and eight. Oh, that's your algebra. Amen. Bring back the church to the world. Now, what is the message of Malachi for you? Show back the original faith, the original resurrection faith. It has to be here. Amen. You have to have it in your heart tonight. Amen. That they've seen Jesus after he had raised from the dead. Seen him working among them. They were men of few words. I'll everyone here talking about foolishness, men of few words. When they get in the pulpit, it's thunderbolt and lightning. Amen. They went forth and preached the word. Oh, they preached long. He said, oh, they preached long. Paul preached all night one time. Hallelujah. A man fell in the building. Kill himself. Let his body be brought him back to life. See? He just kept right on preaching. Could we all stand to our feet? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Let's sing that. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lamb. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. How worthy he is, sir. Amen. That God in his great covenant grace, Daniel here in these seven thunders. Amen. Sunday, we pick it up more. And see Daniel in Revelation, where it comes in, those seven thunders. I was there by the Hiddekel River. I'm by the Hiddekel River tonight. But those demons of the Euphrates River have no influence over me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And I've seen that angel. I heard those voices. It went into my heart. Hallelujah. Oh, my. What a church this hour. Where we ought to be. Amen. To see that worthy Lamb of God coming down a mountain. In this late hour, when it's past healing time, as the door of the ark about to swing shut, and the Holy Spirit, before he pours out the fullness of his power and preach to the Lord, start the rapture and faith among the saints. Yeah, he's just throwing out all these things to let you see. Amen. You're walking in the word. You are walking in the light. Amen. You are a child of light. Amen. You are not deceived. Amen. You are not confused. You are not no wandering star. Amen. God's word being made plain unto you in this late hour. He's keeping his promise just as he said. Amen. Who could replace me? It's not mine. Mind could never figure things out like that. It's the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit that is amongst us. To him we give the glory and to him we give the praise. But we are just filthy Trinidad dirt. Amen. Hallelujah. Had it not been for a soul's attribute displayed inside of us, we are nothing. Amen. But God letting us see and proving to us we are here. We have come to this time. Amen. Acceleration of ripeness, flowing of growth. Amen. When you have what you have is being baked into reality, so you can face the world conqueror churches when they bring that squeeze upon you. You can stand like Shadrach and Meshach, who heard the seven thunders by the river. You can stand like Daniel, who heard the thunders by the river. Hallelujah! Yes. The 20 lions and the 20 fiery foes, you'll stand like them there. Hallelujah, because your name is in that book. Hallelujah. Oh my, Michael, the great prince, he says. Don't get confused, the chief princes in heaven, one of the chief princes. You see, there is many chief princes in heaven, all is Jesus Christ. And Michael is one of the manifestations of one of those princes. Your prince of peace, your prince of war, your prince of all kinds of different things up there. Amen. And when he comes as the angel of war, he comes as Michael. Amen. When he comes as the angel of resurrection, he comes as Michael. One of the princes. Amen. Here he comes with something else. He himself coming to earth is Jesus Christ all the time. Gordon Murphy. Amen. Hallelujah. What a time it is. May this bring a passion in your heart to know the word. Like Daniel, the city already living in, he got on his knees before God. He was reading Jeremiah writings to begin a break. Where are these things coming from? Just Jeremiah writings. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Right inside of here. Breaking upon us. Because he always hear the angel giving skill and understanding. Amen. Wisdom to consider the matter of understanding. See where we are. Amen. God have not left us. I better say, we're working in realms, spiritual realms, beyond what we have been in the days of our ministry. Amen. The Holy Spirit getting ready, fixing the move, and face the challenge of y'all with power. Amen. You see, you've seen yourself in the Word. You know, not just your experience now, but your time, your position in the nation, the whole program, everything where it fits. You know you're the perfect matching piece. Amen. You are that mystery being revealed. God knowing everything. Amen. And if you have need of it, get our hearts ready. You didn't play around. We didn't look in this world for nothing. This world is finished. The right Malachi 3 was not Elijah in the last days. That was John. The earth didn't burn, the prophet said, after John. It went over 2,000 years and the earth didn't burn yet, he said. He said, so it had to be a future day. Had to be a different Elijah he's talking about. But after this Elijah, the earth is to be burned. After the Elijah of Malachi 4, the earth is to be burned. Don't be deceived. Yes, sir. The righteous will walk on the ashes of the wicked. And they'll pull you aside. Open your understanding. Extending grace and mercy unto you. As your soul can be clothed in white raiment. The lamps can be trimmed with oil. You have your eyes and under the eyesight. Gold tried me fine. Amen. Buckle your armor tighter. And press the battle. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. God's worthy. Let's give him praise tonight. That worthy lamb. Let him wipe away the tears of your eyes. Let him lead to the fountains of living water tonight. Let his light shine upon you. Thank you.